Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Faith for Life, the process of dare, where we walk by faith and not by sight to the destiny, the call, the purpose that God has predestined, preordained for us in His mind, in His will. And we thank God because He chooses unlikely people, and He chooses us for His purpose and His plan. He empowers us with His Spirit and His Word and His life and His truth. And we are led by His Spirit, by His Word, to the place of the process of there. And that there place is always going to be and continue into the day that He cracks the sky or the day that we go and be with Him. We're going to always be on a process of there, a continual place of growth, maturity, a place of learning more of Him, growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we do, we are changed, line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth. We are changed, and the light and the life of Him shines so brightly, someone else is going to be touched by it, healed by it, delivered by it. They're going to come to Jesus. They're going to be encouraged by it, and it is amazing because it's all about the King. It's for His glory, it's for His honor, and His praise. If He just wanted us to be with Him in heaven, as soon as we got saved, as soon as we said, Lord, we receive You, we believe You, and come into our heart, we would immediately went to heaven. But because He wanted glory in the earth, He wanted us to be the representation of Him, the ambassadors of Him in the earth, to show someone else that He lives, that He has power, and for us to conquer over the things that have conquered us before we knew God and that other people have not conquered. He wanted us to be as He is when He took the keys from the enemy and He led captive folks from their holding place. He now wanted glory in the earth and said, now win over everything that tries to win over you, because I've already conquered and I've given you the power to conquer and to succeed, to go in and subdue, to go in and inhabit this land, but look like Me in the land, that others would know that I'm God, that I'm here, that I live, that I have power, and that you don't have to fall or be under the plague of sin and guilt and condemnation, but you can live free as I've told you, as I've given you, as I've imparted into you, and be an example for someone else. We've been looking at individuals in the Bible, not seeing them as superhuman Christians, but seeing them as people living in a different time, in a different century, but chosen by God for His purpose and His plan. And we see and study their life, learn from them, learn and hear what God says, and learn of God and how He moves and how He's graceful and merciful. And even we see in the midst of studying them their mistakes, but it doesn't refute the Word of God. It doesn't refute God's plan. It doesn't stop what God is saying. It's going to happen because God spoke it. When God chooses a person, a tribe, a family, or a nation, it is for His glory, and He will get the glory out of them. So we're going to look today and talk a little bit about your focus and what you see, and has your focus hindered you from going into the place of what God really wants for you, because you're looking at it in a dimension or in a place or in an area on a level that God is saying, that's not what I want you to see. I want you to see something else. When we look at the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and they had already seen God perform so many miracles, so many different acts of saving power, saving grace, showing them that He was their vindication, showing them that He was all-powerful, that He subdued the greatest enemy in the earth that had power, because Pharaoh himself saw himself as a god, and he saw himself and others saw him as a god in the earth because he had power, he had wealth, he had dominion in the earth, he had territory, he had thousands of people with him. He had a kingdom that was very vast and very great, and he was a mighty man in the earth. But he saw himself as a king in the earth. He saw himself as someone that could not be stopped, someone that could not be defeated. He saw himself as all-powerful. And so when Moses came to him and said, the Lord of heaven, the great I am, said, let my people go, he says, who is he? I don't know him. because he didn't recognize the God that he could not see. He was looking at all the kingdoms around him, and he was looking at everything that he had, and he could not see anyone that was great as he. So when Moses came to tell them that there's someone else who's coming, who's someone else whose power is greater than you, someone else who's been here throughout the beginning of time, he says, let his people go. It was always a challenge, but God allowed it within his heart to be hardened. It was already in him to be stubborn. It was already in him to rebel. It was already in him not to submit. So God allowed what was in him to be hardened even more so that he would not listen. With all of that that happened, and them and the children of Israel seeing the plagues that went through and seeing God open up the Red Sea, swallow up their enemy, they did not have the sight or the vision or the insight or the faith that was necessary for them to cross over into the place of where they were dwelling. They could have gone there in a matter of days, but God took them the long way. Many say that it's because they were not military ready, and they knew that God knew that they were going to face enemies, and they were not ready to fight. That could be and may be part of it, but I believe the Lord was trying to work out of them the over 400 years of oppression to change their insight, to change their mind, to change their heart, to allow them to grasp and to know the God that has delivered them, the God that they talked about with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they did not know themselves. He was giving them an opportunity to see something different. And sometimes we can be so bent on what we want to see and what we want to happen and how we want it to go that we miss what God is trying to elevate us to or take us to. And we wander around in our own wilderness, in our mind, in our emotions and conditions in our life, not really enjoying the vast blessings that God has for the place of overflow, the place of increase, the place of abundance, the place of pure joy and happiness, because we have one mindset, one-way thinking that limits us to only what we can grasp, what we can see. And many times it is with our own sense knowledge. It is with our five senses. And we know as believers that we are not to use, in the kingdom of God, we are not to use those senses when it comes to God's kingdom. We are to use our faith. Our faith is how we operate in the kingdom of God. Our faith is the thing that God responds to. Our faith is what moves mountains. Our faith is what pleases God. And without faith, we can't even see him. So if you want to see God, you've got to activate faith and not what you're trying to figure out yourself, how he's going to do it, when he's going to do it, the way that he's going to do it, who he's going to use, or the way that we have it in our own mind. The children of Israel, the old generation, wandered with the same mindset, complaining for 40 years. And no one ever, in that first generation, no one ever besides Caleb and Joshua saw what God was trying to see. That first generation, with the exception of Caleb and Joshua, they could not see or grasp what God was saying. And we don't want to use our time unwisely. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms to number our days, that our days are limited. But we don't want to waste time on something that God is saying, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm not going to do it the way you think. I'm not going to show up the way you think. I'm not going to allow it to happen the way you think. And if you can think about it and you can plan it in your mind, I'm going to do totally the opposite. So we have to understand, we have to get and gain the mind of God when we're facing situations and look and say, God, all I know the expected end, the place of my end is victory. And that's what I'm going to concentrate on is the victory part. I don't know how you're going to do the in-between part. That's your business. But I'm going to concentrate on the part that says, the end part that says, I've overcome, I'm coming out with a praise, with a worship, I'm coming out victorious, I'm coming out with an overcoming testimony, I'm coming out victorious in the fact that I have changed even the more in knowing you and understanding you and praising you and worshiping you. I'm coming out with all victory, and that's what I'm concentrating on. I'm not going to worry about how you're going to do it and when you're going to do it. My expected end place is victory, and I trust.